Welcome to Scream Therapy. I'm your host, Jason Schurz. In October of 2018, I found myself in the hospital, sitting across from a psychiatrist who was telling me I had bipolar. I was sent home with a bunch of medication and laid on the couch for a week. I had my iTunes library on shuffle, trying to shake the hornet's nest from my head. Ever since I was a kid, I've been using loud music as a form of therapy. Punk rock and mental health have always been connected. This podcast looks at that connection through the lens of different guests. This is Scream Therapy. Telling stories of mental health is so important. Whether it's through music, film, poetry, spoken word, or any combination of those things. Chris Hyde runs the mental health film grant Voices with Impact and plays in folk punk band Pit Props. Through his work and involvement in the punk scene, Chris has been a storyteller in different creative pursuits. Despite living with anxiety, Chris has been able to harness his special skills to manage the film grant and continue writing and playing music, including touring. Chris has seen many punk musicians use lived experiences in their songs. In turn, the filmmakers he works with pour their hearts into projects that are near and dear to them. Creativity can be pure expression. It can also be a tool for therapy and education. Banks have taken to the bank. Our loved ones kept safe and warm. Instability. People talk of nurses, carers don't get that respect. They're both grinding for the numbers, till they have nothing left. Do not get paid for your travel time, do 60 in the 50. Can you do another 24?
I'm Chris Hyde, I play in the folk punk three-piece, Pit Props. I grew up listening to punk music and loved the kind of ways that it could allow me to be angry at the world in a cool way. And that kind of led me to do the work that I do now, which is in film. I run a film grant and film festival called Voices with Impact. And it was kind of very much my love of story and lyrics and stuff that kind of led me into this more kind of storytelling world that I'm in now. So yeah, when I was growing up, I played a lot of sports and stuff and always felt like a bit of an outsider in that. I didn't really like the social parts of sports in that way. And I remember going to a friend's house and I think his dad was playing drums to like ZZ Top or something. And I just remember like feeling like, this is amazing. This is like so cool. I just felt so immersed. It was just like this big drum kit in this living room. Like so loud, so obnoxious. I was really drawn into it and really loved like kind of hanging out at my friend's house there. So that kind of led me to want to be like, I guess be more involved in music. So any chance I kind of got, I did. And I found that through learning and playing myself, I was able to say stuff that I wasn't able to say to anybody else. And that was kind of really awesome. I think that for me, I very quickly got to punk from just the normal kind of gateway is that like someone's older brother had a Nirvana CD or whatever, right? And I borrowed that and I was like, I like this. This is great. And then ended up finding my way to kind of those other gateway bands like NoFX and Blink and all those kind of things. I absolutely loved kind of what people were able to say in music and how fast it was. It distracted me from my own brain.
What do you think it was about the sports that, you know, you were kind of feeling like an outsider and then finding music, and you said, you know, hearing your friend's dad play drums and just being like, whoa, what is this? You know, there's obviously a lot of impact and noise and excitement and energy in sports, but it seems like maybe there's something different that you connected with.
Yeah, totally. Like, I think what I find really different about it was that, like, being weird and different was kind of the point a bit. That's how it felt to me anyway, that, like, being my weird self was like a positive thing in the world of music, whereas like in a team sport that was like a difficult thing. And I think like the way I thought about the world and the way I had lots to say about it as a kid, I was so like worried all the time. Like I definitely struggle with anxiety and have kind of forever, but sometimes when people around you don't know that, or maybe you don't have the language for that, it's hard to kind of really understand why. But looking back, it's easy to be like, I had this constant little bit of dread going on, and that would really affect the way I was a lot. And I look back now and I find it so funny that I didn't realize I was anxious till like a lot older. Like I had these worry dolls and things that my nan bought me to like tell my little worries to before I went to bed. And I look back and I'm like, I was obviously really worried from really young. I was obviously very anxious, but you kind of don't think about it like that. So what I think I find was that in this space of music, hearing these stories about other people feeling that way too, I think was the thing. I remember listening to one of those Green Day albums and just being like, oh, this is a lot of the things I think about.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? I am one of those melodramatic fools, neurotic to the bone, no doubt about it.
I think that kind of, I was always very drawn to the stuff that was like really explaining like a headspace and a way of approaching the world. So what I kind of got really into really quickly with music, and particularly punk, was that it just felt really accessible to me. It was like faster than my worries a lot of the time. Like the music I was listening to was like faster than my worries. So it would just be like, okay, I'll go to that rhythm and pace, I guess.
I was actually just going to say that, you know, this idea that feeling anxious and there's chaos going on and inside, and so let's listen to some really calm new age or classical music, and it's the punk rock and the metal and that noise that for me really calms me. It's not like I'm hiding in this, I'm not being enveloped in this to sort of hide away. It's just that it's allowing me to kind of click into a different zone where I can be creative, whereas if I'm in the silence or I'm being soothed by music, it just doesn't work. It's got to be the other way around.
Yeah, totally. I find like it just wasn't busy enough for me, I guess. I remember looking back at like everyone was really into the Ramones for a while, and I was just like, they're too slow. Like, I just need something fast. So I kind of got into that kind of more blast beat kind of hardcore punk. And it was just because, yeah, I don't know, it had this energy and it like just mimicked the way I felt inside a lot, you know, angry at the world. And everyone was telling me that I would calm down and mellow out around that. And I like feel very glad about my 15, 16 year old self being pretty on it with like how I was angry about the world. I still think a lot of the same things. Even though people were telling me, oh, you'll grow out of that, you know, I think that a lot of the time, like, I needed music to keep up with that kind of part of my, like, essentially just looking around me, seeing, being a working class kid, seeing like this kind of different ways people could experience life, and the different stories that we were able to tell about those lives and hear about them. I don't know, I was kind of like very cognizant that things were going to be tricky, and I wanted music that kind of was honest about that to me. And when I was able to then get into doing that myself and like doing that with other people, the community of it was awesome. Getting to meet other people that felt the same anger about how things didn't feel fair and how things didn't feel right. It's really special to meet those people. And often, like, you do need a proxy of something that you both come together on, right?
Yeah.
Is a way you can connect.
So you started playing in bands and writing music and writing lyrics. What was that like, getting less of a passive, I'm listening to the music, it's helping me, it's therapeutic, but now I'm going to project outwards and start being creative?
Yeah, that was really cool. And I think, like, I always viewed it that way. I think really quickly, as soon as I could play guitar, I was like, I want to write songs. And as soon as I could do that with any kind of level of cognizance, that they ended up sounding kind of like songs at the end. I really got the bug for that. You know, I just really loved that part of it. And for me, it was a really big drive with, like, there's stuff I want to say. I want to put them in these songs. And it was like, it made all of that, like, overthinking and that, like, stress I had in my brain, like, really useful to me. Because I would sit around with friends and they'd be like, oh, I got a riff. I don't know what I want to write the song about, though. I'd be like, I've got like 10 ideas of stuff I want to say. Let me do the lyrics. I'll do that. Because I always just had something in there that I'd been overthinking. And that overthinking then became like a real asset. It felt useful for the first time, I think. Before, it just kept me in my head and kept me distant from people or made me kind of just feel uncomfortable. And sitting in the uncomfort of anxiety is really difficult. It's a difficult thing to kind of reckon with, I think, as a teenager. But, like, I would kind of weirdly feel okay when I felt sad, because sadness made sense to some degree. But, like, this kind of anxiety that I couldn't always put my finger on just felt like, ugh, this was horrible. Like, it feels so horrible. So to be able to, like, channel that and then, like, share it and, like, get some of this stuff out of my head. I mean, I didn't realize at the time it was therapeutic, but, like, I think looking back, it really was, to be able to, like, have that kind of thing of, like, I had an outlet to, like, say stuff, to share those things that were in my brain, and then have other people be like, oh, yeah, like, I get that. That was the beautiful thing of finding that for me, is that, like, it just gave me this way to be able to get all of this stuff out of my head.
Yeah.
And then I could kind of move on from it a bit in a way that I'd never been able to before, which is awesome. I really enjoyed that part of it.
For me, I always compare my anxiety to, like, when it gets to its height, like a sort of a crawling in skin. Like, there's almost like bugs under my skin, which sounds really gross, but it's that, it's that feeling of, like, just being super uneasy and fidgety and stuff like that.
Totally.
But it sounds like when you were able to find the music and start writing lyrics and playing, that you had, like, almost like a valve was released.
Mm. Yeah.
The pressure.
Yeah, it did relieve the pressure for sure. And one of the things that, like, was really important to me was to be able to share it. So, like, I actually hated the process of writing always. I always have, like, and it's funny, right? Of, like, the actual writing it down, I hate it. It's horrible. It's kind of, as you describe, like a skin crawling kind of feeling. I feel that through writing. I feel like to this day, when I write stuff, I'm like, ugh, this is gross. I hate this. Getting it out of my head. It feels like the anxiety to me always feels a bit like there's so many bees buzzing around in my head. The writing process kind of feels like I'm getting rid of, like, this kind of goo from my brain. It's like a different kind of feeling. It feels satisfying, but it doesn't feel nice. Sitting down to write to me is kind of like going to box with myself, right? It's like, I'm going to work something out. It's probably because I don't ever really write about stuff that I'm not trying to work out, right? Like, yeah. Some people can write, like, just kind of nice stuff that they're kind of exploring or whatever. But for me, I'm always like, if I'm writing about it, it's because I'm trying to, like, understand something for it. So to be able to, like, yeah, get that out was really important, to the point where, like, it was really great doing it in bands. And then I just got to a point where kind of everyone was kind of moving on a little bit from that. It was just like one of those moments. There's a bit of a shift in what's happening. For me, it was important to share it always. And being on stages and doing that, like, was really a key part of all of the kind of stuff for me. Like, that's the part I enjoyed about it. So I was able to, like, get it out. There's something a bit, like, weirdly, you're controlling your anxiety when you perform, right? Like, I always say, like, I never really got nervous about performing because I knew I was going to be anxious. So it was like, I'm anxious most of the time. So at least I get like a cool bit of release after this bit. It's not just like going into the bar. I'm just being anxious. It's just, it feels weird that I'm here, right? With going into the bar and then going up on the stage and getting to like share the stuff, there was this kind of catharsis around that. I was going to be as nervous or whatever most of the time. And then I kind of got to the place where I didn't feel nervous in those places anymore. I didn't feel anxious in those spaces because I got to share it. But there was a transitional moment kind of where I was playing in these bands, was doing this stuff. And then kind of everyone's lives started happening. I was a little bit younger than a lot of the people I was playing with. There was this moment where I was like, oh God, I don't have a band. What am I going to do? It was like so much part of like, you know, I didn't call it a wellness practice at the time or anything, but like it was part of how I coped. I made music and I played it with people.
And then you went into filmmaking. Music and filmmaking, both very creative pursuits, but you know, what was the impetus to go that direction?
Yeah, so it was that transition where I didn't have a band and I was like, I'm just going to write the lyrics the same and I'm just going to go on stage and read them and shout them. So I did that and it was great. And I, you know, I was kind of doing spoken word poetry. Also didn't kind of know I was doing that. And I got into doing that. And then I realized that for me, the love of writing it and sharing it was like a huge, huge important part. And that different modes of doing that served me in a similar way. So through writing poems, and it was lyrics to poems, and then I got this opportunity. Someone asked me, they saw me do a poem in a bar, which is, I always like to share that, of like, go out and do the thing. I'm pretty sure I was like, I don't know if I want to go to this open mic. Someone was like, hey, that was a pretty visual piece of writing. Have you ever thought about making films? And I was like, no, not at all, but sounds cool. And they literally just text me, like, they got my number and they text me an opportunity. And I applied for it because I was like, that sounds good. I'm not doing anything else. So I got into filmmaking, like, really, like, through doing what I'd always done, which is gone to bars and kind of shared what I had to say. And then it was this really cool way of being able to, like, create a whole little world. I always saw albums that way. Like, I really like full albums. I only ever really listened to stuff, like, all the way through. I always thought about the narratives of albums and the stories and songs. And so for me, making film and making short film particularly was never really much of a, it just felt a continuation of the same thing. And I like absolutely love doing it. I kind of built up this community of people, I guess, where we kind of just talked about what was happening and going on. And I was lucky enough to hear about a film grant and I was like, oh, I'll apply for that. I'll give that a go. It was a mental health film grant. And I was like, oh, I wonder if I feel like I'm going to have to change what I'm writing to like fit what they're looking for. And I remember reading it and be like, this is what I write about all the time. I don't even know if I would have said that. I think I would have said I write about working class identity or I write about queer identity. And those things are really important to me. And that's a lot about what I write with. Pit Props in the folk punk band, a lot of that stuff is just that DNA of that work I've always talked about, which is being a queer working class person. It's a funny thing. I just kind of always have spoken about that. And yeah, I kind of pitched a film that was in the same realm as that. And it was great. It was a really great experience. And now I'm very lucky to say that I've gone through that film world a little bit. And now I'm running that grant, which is a really awesome thing. I'm really, really glad to be able to like now be in a position where I'm able to like work with people telling their mental health stories. It's like really, really beautiful. I think that honestly, it gives me that same feeling of collectively creating something in a band. You're working with a group of people to create something you all care about. And to me, like in the rehearsal space with Pit Props and then chatting to a filmmaker about the project they've got on, it's the same part of my brain and love that I'm able to do that work. I feel very, very privileged to get to do it.
They talk about neurodivergency. In order to be a true artist that's going to express themselves in a very real way, you have to be somehow neurodivergent to do that. So many people that are dealing with mental health conditions are the most creative people that I've ever met.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like, I think if you're content, there's not that drive to, like, do the thing. Like, I do know some people who, like, do creative things just for the pure joy of them, right? And I think that's beautiful. But they don't have this drive to like share them and get them in front of people, right? Because it's like, oh, I'm just doing this for me and it feels good, you know? Mm-hmm. And I always feel like that's a wildly well-adjusted way of interacting with creativity.
You're doing art just for yourself? What's going on?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Whereas many people I've connected with through music and through film and through poetry are people that are trying to work something out and thinking about things in a different way. And I often think about this idea that, like, there is kind of this thing that people talk about where, like, oh, that I'm not my mental health diagnosis. I don't know, like, obviously it's totally fine for anyone to think whatever they want about that. But for me, I'm like, I am an anxious person. That is who I am. And that shapes exactly the way I interact with the world and the way that I interact with art and film and music. And I kind of love that. Like, the overthinking, like, completely shapes the way that I tell stories, and it allows me to do lots of really cool things that, like, I couldn't do otherwise. A cool thing about the film grant that I work on is that I'm working with 10 different film making teams every year. So they each get a grant, they get to make a 5-minute short, and that is something that then goes out into the world to educate young people about mental health, right? So there's so many moving parts in a project like that. But because I am prone to think about every eventuality because of my overthinking, and it's because it's not me having to, like, do the kind of minutia of each step, I've just got this kind of, like, overview of things in a way that there's rarely something that has happened with something that's difficult that I haven't thought might happen. Because I just, my brain is that way.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, what if that happened? Oh, what, you know, like, that's happening all the time.
Problem solving based on anxiety.
Yeah, totally. That problem solving thing, yeah, is like a huge part of how I think about everything. I get loads of reward from thinking that way because it's like a positive way of using it, right? Whereas, like, I could definitely overthink and worry in a way that feels really bad. But there are ways to use it where I'm like, I've thought about that and maybe this could be the solution to that already, because don't worry about it, I already thought about it. I love that. And it means I could be calm for other people and support other people that are maybe finding the project more stressful or whatever, because it's them that are doing every little step of it, right? So I find that to be, like, a really cool thing about being me, which is a weird thing to say, but I do think when you talk about mental health, that is what we're talking about, right? We're talking about being ourselves and what it is like to live in our own heads. That feels like a really important part of creativity and connecting, that I can use some of that stuff in a positive way rather than the kind of negative way that it often gets talked about.
I believe that those kinds of struggles and turmoil in someone's life, it does affect the decisions, you know, like seeking medication or finding different ways to deal with things. So it's the whole, like, flip it and say, oh, this is actually, I've gotten through this now, and can it be a positive thing in that sense?
Yeah. You look back, right, like, and for me at least, many, many people I know, particularly neurodivergent people, like, the self-medicating that you do and all that stuff is like, I was doing that. I was aware I needed some form of medicating. I just wasn't doing it in a very efficient or very healthy way.
What is Voices with Impact, working for that organization and dealing with these filmmakers? How is that affecting your life? And especially now that you've become more stable with anxiety and being medicated, what does that look like for you now?
Yeah, well, working with Voices with Impact and running the grant and the festival is just feels like a really beautiful, special thing that I'm able to do. So it's a film grant where we get to fund filmmakers telling mental health stories. So it's really amazing to get to use, like, a lot of the very specific experience that I have with lived experience, but also through making film myself. It's really, really amazing to each year get to work with another group of filmmakers that are wanting to tell important stories about mental health. And we get to talk about all sorts of different things. And I'm always amazed, like, every year we have, like, a loose theme, but the stories that come through are, like, incredibly inspiring and sometimes heartbreaking and sometimes really funny. And it's wicked to get to, like, work with filmmakers. I feel very lucky to be able to do this, to be able to offer people money to tell their stories and their important stories that are going to help other people in sharing them. So we make them and then we share them in Vancouver every year. We do a premiere, which is just a really lovely thing where all the filmmakers get together, we share the work, and then those films go out in the world to educate young people about mental health. So it's very awesome to get to do the work that I totally would have benefited from as a teenager, right? I would have, like, if someone was coming to me and talking about some of the things that our films are about, I think it would have been a lot quicker journey for me from I'm struggling a bit with this to like, oh, okay, I can talk about it.
Not only that, but you're still playing punk shows and touring through different areas. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and the getting to share the music and connect with people by playing shows is just something that, like, yeah, I thought I would give up, but it's so much part of me. I'm never going to stop because it's so lovely. The people you get to meet is the thing, right? It's the beautiful thing.
And they try to prescribe us a life fulfilled. They try to erase us, but we've always been here. And I raise my fist cause I'm proud to be queer. And I need you to be you. And I want you to be you. And they try to prescribe us a life fulfilled. They try to erase us, but we've always been here. And this one goes out to all of the queers. And I want you to be you. Oh, I need you to be you. And I want you to be you.
That was my conversation with Chris Hyde of Voices with Impact and Pit Props. VoicesWithImpact.com, pitprops.bandcamp.com. For more episodes of Screen Therapy, go to ScreenTherapyHQ.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. The Screen Therapy book is available now. Screen Therapy, A Punk Journey Through Mental Health, tells my story and the stories of others who use punk as a catalyst for mental health. Like this podcast, it links the community-minded punk scene with the mental wellness of the punks who belong to it. To order the book, go to ScreenTherapyHQ.com. For merch, check out screentherapy.threadless.com. Okay, enough promoting. It's time for some thanking. Thank you for listening to Screen Therapy. Doing this podcast and talking to folks about punk rock and mental health has been a crucial part of my own mental stability, and it means so much to me that you're out there listening. Screen Therapy is created in the Cathet region of coastal British Columbia, Canada, on the traditional territory of the Klahaman Nation. Contact me at ScreenTherapyHQ.com or email me at ScreenTherapyPodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let's talk about punk rock and mental health. Until next time, take care and be well.
You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
Is Bird Note. Even if you had feathers, lightweight bones, and powerful wings, you would still lack something essential to flying like a bird. The highly efficient breathing anatomy that powers the exertion of flight. The human apparatus of diaphragm and lungs is just not up to the job. It can't extract enough oxygen to fuel flight. A bird's breathing anatomy is far more efficient than ours. It is driven by large, thin-walled air sacs located throughout the body cavity. The air sacs operate like bellows, first storing and then directing air to create a one-way flow through the bird's lungs. This parabronchial system for extracting oxygen from the air has a far greater surface area than the lungs of a mammal, making sustained flight possible. And birds lack a diaphragm. Instead, they inhale and exhale using special muscles that expand or contract the entire body cavity and air sacs. The way they breathe allows migrating birds to fly in the thin air thousands of feet above the earth, a feat we can only marvel at from below. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. Support comes from Wild Delight Bird Food, offering a variety of blends designed to mimic the natural resources wild birds crave. Available at Chewy.com.
You're listening to